Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Why Do People Suffer? More than likely, you or someone you know is afflicted by evil spirits. Spiritual warfare is a subject that many Christians don't like to talk about, even though the practice of casting out demons was something that occupied much of our Savior's time when he walked on the earth. Jesus has given Christians the authority to deal with evil spirits, meaning we have the right to bind them in the areas we live, work, and operate, and cast them out as well. It is always important to know the enemy you're facing. Jesus told us there are certain demons which require prayer and fasting. God wants us to fast in order to break loose the bands of wickedness, to remove heavy burdens, to set the oppressed free, and to break all yokes of bondage. This message is entitled, Conducting Spiritual Warfare. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be speaking today about conducting spiritual warfare. This is my second message, and I might not be able to finish this message, but I want to at least start it up. And I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, and we read from verse 1 through 9. And after these things, the Lord appointed on the Sabbath day also, and sent them into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus had 70 other men that followed him on his life here on earth. And he gave them authority and power to attack evil spirits. This means that we have the right to bind up evil spirits in the areas where we live, work, and operate. I cannot say I want to take out all demons from the United States. I want to take out all demons from Canada or from Africa. We do not have that authority. We have the authority where we are, where we work. That's the area that you and I can control, because this is where we live. Now, I do not have the legal right to simply say, okay, I want all demons in the Sacramento area to be bound, chained, and taken to prison. I don't have that legal right. When we do a deliverance of the person, or in my own life, those demons I can take out, I can put under prison, because I have that legal right when it comes to cast out. But God's not given us the right to clear the earth of demons. I would like to do it. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus selectively cast out demons for those he ministered to. In verse number 17 of that same chapter, we read this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And Jesus said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the Spirit is subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Most people that are coming out of Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, and other evangelical churches, you have been taught that when you come to Christ, your spirit is born again. That's truth. Your soul has been redeemed. That's truth. And then they say, you got the Holy Spirit, partial truth. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they simply tell you this, you got everything there is. But notice now, when you get saved, there's no change to the physical body. The physical body does not change. If you're sick, the sickness will be there, unless God supernaturally throws it out. Happens at times, but not very often. If you have demons, they are not going to go out because you got saved. Jesus is not going to cast out the demons. You are in charge of casting out the demons. Not Jesus. He gave that authority to you. And if you do not cast the demons out, neither will Jesus. So you will struggle and go up and down and up and down in your Christian life. Look in verse number 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Jesus said, now this truth is hidden. It is only available to those that are open, that are not filled with pride, that are open to the scriptures. I read in the Swedish newspaper a couple of days ago, and the government in Sweden, they are crooks, and I mean, they are thieves. So, taxation in Sweden is about 50% of your income. They tax it. You have a sales tax of 25%. And, of course, then you've got gas taxes and all everything else, so they tax you to death. And so people, simply over the years, they saved their cash, kept it at home, and the government realized that they had billions and billions of currency that people simply had stashed away. And they said, you know, they're using that money and we cannot tax it. They won't put it in a bank. So the crooks came up with this brilliant idea. We're going to change currency. And they simply had people decide, you know, $100, these are for crowns, so thousands and so on. And they simply said, you have 6 months or a year to bring in your cash that you keep in your mattress and get it the new currency. Of course, when you do that, they will know how much money you have and then they can tax you. So the Swedish people, many of them didn't do it. So now they had about 3 or 4 days left before the deadline. And the government realized there were billions and billions of crowns that they simply refused to bring in. And now, in a week, they would be worthless. The government in Sweden knew that they could not really do things. So they laid low. They didn't advertise this. They said it one time, and they didn't talk about it because they didn't want people to know. And Satan simply has spoken to denominations, pastors, and seminaries and said, don't tell people they can cast demons out. We don't want them to cast them out. We want to keep them. We want them to be kept. So the question is now, what are you going to do in your life? So if you're listening to me, you have not been delivered, but you're saved. I can guarantee you this, you have spirits living in your body and your soul, and they're taking energy from you, and they are simply holding you back, and you are struggling. Let me take you now to the book of Acts, chapter 16. That's the book of Acts, chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. We brought a master as much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul on us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. That's good advertisement. Unsaved person. A demon advertising for Paul and saying, hey, this guy is a preacher of the gospel. The same followed Paul on us. Verse 18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when the master saw that the hope of the gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Notice now, this lady was not saved. Paul was not bringing salvation to her. But the demon were pestering him. And he simply had the power that he kicked that demon out and threw it out. And the woman could no longer, not prophesy, but he could no longer predict fortune. He didn't do any more fortune telling. You will not have power if you are someplace and there's a person around you that have demons and they are pestering you. You have the legal right to attack that demon, knock it out, and send it to prison. We need to use that more often. Now let me take you to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. And I want to talk to you about binding the strong man. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Let me reread it there. And Jesus knew that thought that every kingdom dividing itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house dividing itself shall not stand. And if Satan cannot Satan, he's dividing himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, but whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter the strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? When we do deliverance, on the very first day, we had a person that wants to be set free of demons, we bind the strong man. The first action we do, we simply take dominion. We bind up the strong man. We bind up the demons. We hogtie them where they should be bound, chained, gagged, blinded, deaf, and dumb, and unable to move until we're going to cast them out. This is what you got to do if you're going to be successful. You bind them up. It's the same thing you have in warfare, in military warfare. You don't want to go up against an enemy without first softening him up with artillery, airstrikes, and a few other things. You want to destroy as much as possible before you commit to ground troops. So make it easy. Now, the strong man can be different places. Let's say, for example, you have on a job situation. You have something there that is pestering you. You can't get past that. Well, it's a strong man. You can bind that strong man that hinder you from doing your work. If you got a work that is constantly riding you, you can bind the strong man and knock that demon out. Whatever it is that is coming against you, you have the power to take out the strong man. If you don't do that, he's going to come back and you're not going to be successful. So remember this, before you do anything with demons, bind the strong man. Whereas I can enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he would spoil his house. Most Christians will not do that. We simply don't think about it. And we try to deal with situation in the flesh. We try to do it casting demons out. But we have not bound the strong man. Whatever he is, it's a demonic entity. We need to bind him. If it is a fallen angel, we need to bind that. We cannot touch him, but we can bind them. We can ask God to give us protection from them. But we need to bind them up. The second thing I want to talk about here, not the third thing, is identifying evil spirits. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. That is Deuteronomy chapter 7. And then we're going to read it here from verse 1 through 6. But the Lord your God shall bring into the land where you go to possess it, has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. You shall not make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter you shall not give to his son, nor his daughter shall not give your son. For they will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, destroy you suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people unto the Lord God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be special people to himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love unto you, nor chose you because you are more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of them all. But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, has he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then in verse number 23 through 26, same chapter. But the Lord your God shall deliver them unto you, shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, and they be destroyed. He shall deliver the kings into their hand. You shall destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. The graven images, the gods shall be burned with fire. You shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto you, lest you be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a cursed thing like it. But you shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So what God told the Israelites here is this. Identify idolatry. Identify the demons in the land. Now, they had the power to destroy the altars. They could destroy the gods and so on. You and I cannot do that. We cannot go and tear down and burn down bars, whorehouses, places of ill repute. We cannot do that. But we have the power to pray over that. We have the power to identify things in our area. Over the years, I don't like to have bars around me. And there's been several times where we had bars around the church, and we had a bar here in the town where we are, little town where we are. And when I see a bar that is close to me, it's uncomfortable. I have to drive by there every day. I want it closed. So it is already cursed. I don't have to curse it. It's already cursed. But I simply pray for God for destruction. I said, God, bankrupt them. Burn the place down. Whatever it takes. But close this joint down. And you know what? After a little while, this clear joint closed. We have the bar here in the little town we're at. And they try to sell it. They close down. and the owner come in, we closed it down, and eventually right now it just sits there, boarded up, and whoever it is realize they cannot do business in this town. And the reason is, I live here, and I don't want to borrow my town. Now, we got more power than we think we have, but we don't use it. We simply, you know, we let things go. And now, it might have taken 2 years or 3 years for this thing to close down. Sometimes they close down in 6 months. But you stay at it. You stay at it day after day. Every time you drive by, you want to get rid of something, you just stay at it. And eventually that thing will close or disappear. So identify the evil spirits. Identify them in yourself. Guilt, condemnation, fear, anxiety, depression. Whatever you feel, you identify the demons and say, now, I am going to identify you, I'm going to tag you, and I'm going to knock you out. I don't want you on my property. I don't want you in my body. I don't want you in my soul. But you have to take responsibility. Now, let me talk about a subject that most people don't like. Fasting. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. We pick it up here in verse number 14. And when he, Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people that beheld him were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you them with? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which is a dumb spirit. Whithersoever he takes him, he tears him, and foams and gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. And I spake to your disciples that you cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. In that verse you will see Jesus' emotions. He simply said, man, I commissioned them, I work with them, I send them out, and they are running up and they can't do this. It must have been hard for Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, to be with people that have puny minds and puny faith. They simply walk up, man, this cannot be done, you know, and Jesus, you know, how long do I have to suffer you? So we need to shed our unbelief. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straight by the Spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wall of foaming. This is what happens many times when you deal with demons. They will manifest. Big time. Screaming, hollering, sometimes even attacking you. Notice now, Jesus did not pay attention to the demons. He simply let them, you know, blah, 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 do their thing. He turned to the Father, and he asked, how long is it since this came into him? Jesus said, how long have these creatures been in him? And the Father said, of a child. Enough times did he cast me into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's a faithless statement. If you can do anything, it would be nice. That's how most people pray. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Here it is. You got to have faith. It's not ifs. It's not buts. It is now. We're going to have some action. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help you my unbelief. That's a good prayer. All of us need to pray that. Because we are born with unbelief. We live with people that nothing is happening. We see unbelief all the time. He cried out to them with tears. Lord, I believe. Help you my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirits unto him. You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, rent him sore, came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he's dead. Happened many times when we do deliverance. People are collapsing. They're dead. Spirit tears them. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast out this demon? And Jesus said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There are some demons that will not budge. You can stand for hours. You have to put in some prayer and fasting. And if you come up against one of these demons, you don't walk away. You simply bind the sucker up and say, I'll be back. I'm going to get some more power. I know where to get it. And then we're going to knock you out. You fast for a day, half a day, 2 days, whatever God tells you, the Holy Spirit will tell you. You fast for that specific purpose, to have power over this particular demon. And when you come back, you will have it. Now, let me tell you something what I do. This is the beginning. One of you that had deliverances and so on, you know, I said, okay, I got deliverance, I got to fast this week or whatever it is. And then I realized, if I have a regular fasting once a week, that I simply fast every week, if I do deliverance or not, I'm going to put this in my bank account. I'm going to simply have a fasting bank account in heaven. And so, 52 weeks a year, I have fasting that I do on a regular schedule. And it works very well. You see, you put it in the bank. And when you need it, it's there. Most people fast when they get stuck. Panic fasting. Last minute fasting. What you want to do is you want to have a regular time of fasting at least once a week that you do fast and you simply say, I'm fasting. I want to have power. I want to put this in my bank. And when I need the power, I want to have it to draw it out. So fasting is something that you really need to do if you're going to be successful in the kingdom of God. Let me take you now to Isaiah chapter 58. How should we fast? You don't want to have a hunger strike. You don't want to fast at having, you know, because you get angry. And so fasting is in chapter 58. We have a description. And you pick it up in verse number 1. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have you fasted, say they, and you see not? Wherefore have you afflicted our soul, and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labor. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this a fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Now, we got political prisoners. We got people that are in prison wrongly. Now, we pray for them. But we also need to fast. See, this is a powerful thing. You might be the only one, you're about two or three of you. And you say, we want to have this person set free. It's impossible in the flesh. But we are going to fast particularly for that. What is happening when you fast? You see, the belly is our God with a small g. You know, we feed the belly because we want to have food in order to function. And we like to eat, unless you're anorexic. So, here's what you do. You simply said, I am going to deny myself the food. One meal, three meals, 2 days, 5 days, whatever God tells you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm not going to eat. And when I normally eat, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray specifically for this particular problem. And when you do that, God is simply saying this. This is an extra you're doing. You go an extra mile. And he says, when you fast and pray, I will give you more power. I will give superpower to you. I will work harder for you. Now, I did not invent the fast. God did. So, it's not popular because we like to eat. But you deny yourself and you start doing this and you begin to find the power you have in your life compared to before you were fasting. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? That's where you're fasting. That you bring the poor that are cast out of your house. When you see the naked, that you cover him. That you hide not yourself from your own flesh. In other words, we fast, not so I can get a new car. I'm going to fast God until you give me that Ferrari. God said, you don't need it. Drive what you got. Toyota's just fine. We fast for other people. We fast if we are stuck if something needs to be done in our lives. We fast. Listen to verse number 8. Then shall your light break forth as a morning. Your health shall be spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear reward. When we fast and pray, light shall break forth. Health will come. God is healing you. Your righteousness shall go before you. Who is our righteousness? Jesus. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. In other words, you are crucifying your flesh. Then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry and shall say, here am I. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke that putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity and your darkness be as the noonday. Promises, fantastic. And the Lord shall guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, satisfy you when there is drought, no rain. I remember Thomas Burns in the church we had before. This is under the Obama administration. but it was all kind of difficulties. He would get up Sunday after Sunday and share his testimony, got it done. And he would say this, I operate in God's economy, amen, not in recession. Did God meet him? He sure did. And the Lord shall guide you continually. Satisfy your soul in drought. Make fat your bones. And you shall be like a water garden, like a spring of water, whose water fail not. And they that shall be of you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's what we do in deliverance. We are repairing the breach. We're taking people that crashed, and they're repaired, restored, and able to function again. That's what God wants to do with all of us. The question is, are you willing to be used by the Lord? Well, I'm not going to finish this message. I'm going to save the rest of it for next week because I can make hash out of it or sloppy Joe, but that's not good stuff. So we're going to leave it right here, and we're going to come back on it. But you got enough today clearing the area we're at, binding a strong man, identify evil spirits, and start a fasting program. If I can get you doing this, you'll be doing great. Now, you listen to me, and you said, I'm not saved. And I'd like to get in on this. Very simple. Here's what you need to do. Ask God right now to forgive your sins. Confess that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and to save you. And he will. When we finish here, you will have Charles Terrell come. You will not see him on your screen, but you will hear his voice. And he will take the scriptures and show you step by step, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how to be saved. He will lead you in a prayer of salvation so you will know that you are saved. If you do that afterwards, write us, call us. I'd like to talk to you, pray with you, send something to you, encourage you in the name of Jesus. Now, to those of you that are regular people, you love the Lord, you want to serve him, stop and think for a moment. You don't have to be a big evangelist or a pastor or a Bible teacher or a scholar. You alone, you and Jesus, can do wonderful things. I gave you a few pointers here today. If you take these pointers and say, I'm going to fast, I will identify demons, I'm going to try to get closer to God, I'm going to seek deliverance, and you will find your life will drastically change. You see the men here that come up every Sunday, Soterios, Thomas, Henry. Their lives have changed. They were not like this before. Some of them have been walking with the Lord many years. But they made a decision years ago and said, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm going to do it more seriously. That's what happened. You heard a testimony of Jesse last week. And he changed because of Christ. I kick the ball to you right now. It's in your ballpark. You got the ball. I play with it here. I kicked it to you. It's up to you now. You play ball. Don't blame me if nothing happened. It's your ball, Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today, Lord. We got two sermons in one. And we thank you, Father God, that the Bible clearly lays out a roadmap for the believer. and a roadmap for the unbeliever to become a believer. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that there is light on our path, Lord, and that we don't have to walk in darkness. And I thank you for the many different avenues that are exposed for us to take part in, Lord, and to end up victorious at the end, Lord. We thank you for that. And Lord, I want to lift up this young preacher. His name is Francis Schaeffer Cox, and I believe the Supreme Court is going to make a decision on his case at the beginning of this next week. And we thank you, Father God, that he will move forward, that they will either hear the case or say this has been an injustice and overturn the verdict. And Schaeffer Cox is going to walk out of prison to continue the work of the Lord, Lord. He is a brother. He has been anointed. And he has a calling on him, Lord. We thank you for that. We have great expectancy. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the sixth part in the series, Why Do People Suffer?, and was entitled, Conducting Spiritual Warfare. More than likely, you know someone that is afflicted by evil spirits. Spiritual warfare is a subject that many Christians don't like to talk about, even though the practice of casting out demons was something that occupied much of Jesus' time when He walked on the earth. All born-again believers in Christ have been given the authority to deal with devils, meaning we have the right to bind them in the areas we live, work, and operate, and cast them out as well. This is achieved by determining the history of the area you are operating in, what kind of people are living there, and their type of religion. However, it is necessary to incapacitate the strong man if you want to plunder his house. This means you must bind the strong man over the person before you can proceed to cast out the demons. Jesus also told us there are certain unclean spirits which require prayer and fasting. The Lord wants us to fast in order to break loose the bands of wickedness, to remove heavy burdens, to set the oppressed free, and to break all yokes of bondage. This was an important message if you are falling short of the abundant life promised by Jesus. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1655. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.